The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Addressing the people and his disciples, Jesus said, "The scribes and the Pharisees occupy the chair of Moses. You must therefore do what they tell you and listen to what they say. But do not be guided by what they do, since they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders. But will they lift a finger to move them? Not they. Everything they do is done to attract attention, like wearing broader phylacteries and longer tassels, like wanting to take the place of honor at banquets and the front seats in the synagogues, being greeted obsequiously in the market squares and having people call them rabbi. You, however, must not allow yourselves to be called rabbi, since you have only one master and you are all brothers. You must call no one on earth your father, since you have only one father, he is in heaven. Nor must you allow yourselves to be called teachers, for you have only one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and anyone who humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. I think at first hearing that gospel, it seems like a perfect description of many religious leaders, perhaps even the Catholic clergy, because we wear special clothes, have prominent place in church, teach the strict rules of the church, especially in the married situation. In our Lord's words, we often seem to tie heavy burdens, lay them on people's shoulders, and will they lift a finger that Jesus challenges? Traditionally, of course, called Father, and our head, the Holy Father, the Pope, all seems directly against the teaching that we hear Jesus saying. So we always try to understand what the Lord is actually saying to us. I think there are two things to notice in the approach. First, historically, that the majority of the scribes and Pharisees were not members of the clergy at the time of Jesus. Some were, but most of them were what we call lay people, the people in the pews. The second point is to do with language. We can mean something in an absolute sense or in a relative sense. Here, Jesus is warning against using language like father or teacher or master in an absolute sense about a person, about a creature. He says these terms are absolute when applied to God. You have one God and Father of us all. That first reading brought that out. But of course, in many of his parables, Jesus is quite happy to use the term in a relative sense and uses it, of course, in parables when he speaks of the prodigal son, other parables. Mary, of course, says, "Your father and I." And it's not recorded that Jesus told her off because of that. And of course, in the commandments, we're told, "Honor your father and your mother." Now, there the terms are being used in a natural relative way in the way that we do. So some of you are teachers, or you have been. Others, of course, not necessarily rabbis, but a teacher. And so that's what Jesus is saying. When it's in that relative way, that's how we do it. But what Jesus is really getting to in everything he's trying to bring us to is the right way round, seeking God and his kingdom first. Perhaps it means that we need to see everything comes from God and returns to God, and everything else falls then into its proper place. Almost as if we're trying to usurp the place of God, or start to think that God's teaching and his kingdom belong to us, then we've got things wrong. That's why it's the word of the Lord. It's not our word, it's the word of the Lord. Only God is the absolute Father. Only Christ, true God and true man, is absolutely the master and the teacher. And in a way, Paul picks that up when he writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Everything comes from God and returns to God. And God sent his only Son into the world to give us the way, the truth, and the life as the master and the teacher." But of course, as parents, our parenting, our fatherhood, our motherhood comes from God. As clergy too, our fatherhood comes from and is exercised under God. And the Holy Father is servant of the servants of God. But what Jesus is getting to is that those to wield authority must not only preach the good news, but they must practice it and live it in their own lives. In a way, St. Paul again picks that up in our second reading, where he says, having brought them to faith, and he explains how he's worked among them with all the affection and unselfish devotedness of a mother, feeding, looking after her children. We are to practice, as it were, that preach. He said he's slave day and night, so that he might not be a burden on anyone, his one desire to preach the good news. And that's the big test of this particular passage. Are we living that Christian life? And as I said, many of the scribes and Pharisees belong like you. So it's hitting at the priests, of course it is, but it's also hitting at all of us from our baptism. Have we fallen short in our bringing others to the good news of the gospel? Because as we know, living the life of the faith within the church brings us up against both harsh realities of human weakness, but also the glory of human life transformed. On Tuesday, All Saints' Day, we celebrate that great list of men and women, and we can look in our own lives. People were great people who've brought us and taught us and kept us and preserved us in the faith. Some of the glories of human life transformed by grace. But we know too, and it starts from the bishops and the priests down, those too, the harsh reality of human weakness that we're still living with and always will do. That may tempt us to want to give up, and many do. We only look around us and think people that have stopped walking and being nourished and their batches fed here week by week. Maybe we'd be like the Pharisees and a bit deluded about our own goodness. And that's why I was mindful of a word that I think it was Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but I don't like you Christians because you're so unlike your Christ. What an indictment. Maybe that's something for us to reflect on during the day. But All Saints' Day reminds us of our high calling. Everyone is called to be a saint. We might not achieve it. That's why we've got All Souls Day to follow it, for those that didn't. But nevertheless, the 2 days come together to remind us of those two sort of things in that Christian life. Those that did achieve it, those, all of us still struggling. And when we come in, we acknowledge that. Right at the beginning, Father, forgive us. But then the Lord comes to nourish us in his word with his own body and blood. And that unites us so closely with his passion, death, and resurrection, opening up our sort of desire then to forgive, just as Christ forgives. And that's good news for the world. Do we live that as he asks of us?